Welcome to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I am so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word verse by verse. Living the Adventure and our program, which immediately follows this broadcast, Three Guys and a Mic, is hosted by City Church Ministries. Why not invite a friend to join you in listening as we learn together from God's Word? And then I want to invite you to join us immediately following Living the Adventure for our live discussion of our lesson on Three Guys and a Mic Radio, where we seek to understand the lesson for the day and give expression from the experience of our Three Guys team to practically apply God's Word on a daily basis. Now again, thank you to all who support these broadcasts in helping defray the broadcast costs, the financial costs that are involved. Your help is very much appreciated and so important to keeping the broadcast on the air and going forward. And if you're enjoying these studies from God's Word, would you consider partnering with us to help in the financial costs to produce these programs each week? Every donation helps in extending God's Word of truth. You can write us here at CCM, that's City Church Ministry, CCM, P.O. Box 152388. Again, that's P.O. Box 152388, San Diego, California, with a zip of 92195. And a tax receipt will be given at the end of the year. And if it's more convenient for you, you can go to our PayPal account, which is www.paypal@sdccm.org, and make your make sure that you mark your gift as a friend. And I want to thank you in advance for your prayers and your help. Now let's pray together and begin today's lesson as we continue looking at Paul's admonition concerning prayer from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who has come, the helper, the one who causes our understandings to be opened, gives us the ability to make application of your word, to live in victory, the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, even through trials and tribulations. Lord, you're there. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. In him I'll trust. And so we pray, help, Lord, as we look at your word, as we consider these things, let it be established in our life. Let us be the man and woman of God that you've called us to be in Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on June 14th, we left off at the area of looking at the pattern prayer that Jesus gave us. We call it the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come and your will be done. And in looking at the pattern prayer Jesus gave to his disciples, and he also gave it to us, we are keying off of the passages in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And just for review, since last week is Father's Day and we had a Father's Day message, let's look back at Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And we're spending a little time here because there's so much to be gleaned. And Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, we want to pick up back in Matthew 6 and look at where it says in this pattern prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, I've said it many times. If you've been listening to me for any length of time, I'm going to say it again. The message is the kingdom of God. The message, to be sure, is not the church. The church or the body of Christ is the messenger, not the message. God has called us out of this world into his kingdom. He is the Lord, and he's given us a message to share with a lost world, with nations that are filled with rebellion and sin, and to call them to Christ, to call them to the King of Kings. This is a crucial mistake that has been made down through history, beginning in the second century and developing from there. The church became the message, that salvation was in the church. I want to say it's not. The church is simply the people of God that God has saved and brought into a relationship with himself. And we are the carriers of the message, which is God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The 20th and the 21st centuries are about bringing the church back to her primary message, the kingdom of God. This was Christ's message, and this was the apostles' message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the kingdom of God came in the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17, I've mentioned it before, that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Christ is reigning today over the kingdom of darkness and the nations. If you just take time to go back and look at Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That's not future, that's present. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Jesus said to his disciples. Therefore, go, go, my church, my people, men, women of God, go, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It is our responsibility to permit him, Jesus, to reign in us, his people, and proclaim his reign to the nations. There isn't anybody else that's going to do it, beloved. It's the responsibility of the believer. It's the responsibility of the body of Christ. It's the responsibility of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a sent people. Not a people just called out to sit and wait. We are a sent people, sent to your family, sent to your sphere of influence. Together, we are sent to the state, the city you live in, the state, with others, sent. We're called people within this country called the United States. We're sent. We're sent to the nations to declare that Jesus is Lord. It's our responsibility to permit him to reign in us, his people, and again, to proclaim his reign to the nations. Then he goes on and he says to his apostles and those around him, your will be done. God's will was first established and fully done in Jesus, his only begotten Son. God's will is that the Lord's church, or his body, would declare his will to the nations. God's purpose is that the life of Jesus is revealed in and through the body of Christ in the earth, even as it is in heaven. And I've pointed the scriptures out before, but for reference, Hebrews chapter 12 and 18 through 29, we don't have the time to go there, but look at that. And you see that picture of Jesus reigning. You see the church of the firstborn gathered around the throne. All of those coming from the ages past, there before him. The angels before him, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. This is why unity, or the understanding of the one new man that we've been speaking of, is so vital. Again, I wish we had time to go there and explore it. I'm giving you the reference to look up. But see Acts 17:22-34, and what Paul, how he presented Christ on Mars Hill to those philosophers, to the Greeks of that day, and how he declared from the statue that they had of the unknown God. They didn't know. They knew there was a God out there they didn't know about. He's there to proclaim that God, the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Read it. It's refreshing. And consider, meditate on what Paul is saying there and the responses of the people. And then he goes on and he says, on earth as it is in heaven. See, the passage in Hebrews 12 reveals the great connection between heaven and earth. The Holy Spirit has been given from heaven, and the Lord continues to pour out His Spirit as He gives to His sons and daughters an unshakable kingdom. The receiving of the kingdom is a present reality. We are receiving. This is important because many think that the kingdom of God is a future experience, when in fact the apostles understood that they had received the kingdom in the person of the Holy Spirit. They understood that the kingdom of God had already come and that it was filling the earth with the glory of God. You know, Paul writes over there in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he tells us there that we're being changed from what? Glory to glory. It's an ongoing process. God doesn't want us to wait around for some future event. There is future things. There are things yet to be shown and things yet to be revealed. But God's not calling us to wait around. He says it's already happened. Go wait in Jerusalem, he told his apostles. They wanted to find out, is the kingdom now going to be returned to Israel? He said, well, that's not your concern. That's in the Father's prerogative. But I tell you what you need to do is go. Go and wait. Wait for the power to come. Wait for the authority to come. Wait for the Holy Spirit who brings that to come. That's where it started. And so Paul writes of it in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory, he's changing us into his likeness and image. Isn't that awesome? Now, he goes on then, and he gets really down into the daily walk, and he says, give us our daily bread. Now, we can't spend too much time here, but I want to just lift this thought out. Remember what Jesus told the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is our source of natural sustenance. You know, Solomon mentioned it. Jesus quoted the birds of the air. He knows all about it. He knows when a sparrow falls. Jesus says if he's able to supply for the birds of the air, don't you think he'll supply for you, his kids? The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we need to understand that need has been met. God will supply. What we desperately need is the sustaining word of God, the rhema we talked about, a personal daily bread of life. Beloved, we need to be in the scriptures. We need to be in his word, not as a religious duty, but as a discipline, because our lives will lose strength to walk in this world in Christ if we're not feeding our spirit man by the word of God. If our soul isn't being washed daily by the word of God, it won't take much for the world to get a hold of us and pull us away and pull us back. We need that sustenance. Give us today, Father, our daily bread. Yes, supply all our needs, as Paul said, in the natural realm. But Lord, today, I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from you, Lord. What bread do you have for my life today from the word of God? What beautiful things do you have to say to me from your word? I have to say, this morning, as I was waiting on the Lord spoke to me out of some beautiful areas in the Psalms and the book of Acts. I was just hearing the Spirit of God refreshing me and strengthening me. And then I couldn't help but share with others what he was saying. Daily, give us this day. And then he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. So he brings forgiveness in there. He said, forgive us, Father, in our trespasses. You know, we could amplify on that. That could be a whole lesson. Talking about our sin, trespasses. There's sins of commission. There's sins of omission. There's things that we don't even know about. That's just a part of our nature. And we need to find out in the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Whoa, that's not pleasing to the Lord. And so we come to Him and we say, forgive us, Father, of our trespasses. Even as we choose to forgive others. their trespasses against us. Here is a key to a successful life in Christ: receiving the absolute forgiveness of God because of the absolute completeness of what Christ did for mankind. It is so complete that it is as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. He has separated our sins from us. That he has removed our sins and taken them away. He expects us then, in the light of that, in the same way as he forgives us, and he wants us to forgive others. See, our ability to do just that, forgive others, comes from the power and grace of the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. It's not by your work of righteousness, but his work of righteousness in you. The classic scripture dealing with forgiveness is found there in Matthew 18. And again, time-wise, we can't turn there and spend our time there, but I reference it. Look it up, Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. There's so many principles of truth there to glean from. We've got to understand the importance of this area of forgiveness. Not only that, he teaches us to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And more literally, deliver us from the evil one. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to lead away from temptation. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See, this passage does not remove our responsibility in dealing with temptation. Listen to how James addresses it. James, to what James writes in James 1, 13 through 14. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Look at that. Here's an order. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Wow, what insight. Peter also writes in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now note verse 10 there. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Listen to what Jesus is saying in that statement. The foundation is the kingdom of God. The kingdom is speaking about the government of God. I am speaking about his right to rule all things. That's where I believe this is taking us. It's God's right in Jesus to rule all things. That's the way he set it up. That's what he determined. It is his kingdom, which we are receiving. His kingdom is in power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, not just healing and miracles, but the power to raise the dead. Listen to what Paul said, remember, back in Ephesians 2. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Ephesians 2, 5. Then he goes on, the next verse, raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, 6. But also glory. Beloved, you and I speak of the glory of God. Paul, in writing to the Colossian Christians reveals that this is a mystery. Listen to what Paul says. The mystery which was hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. When was the now? The now was then. The now was when Paul was writing. Paul, when he was sending his epistle out, when he would travel and preach, and the other apostles, this is what they were talking about. They were talking about the mystery. And there's really a number of those mysteries that are outlined in the New Testament that I think next week, that's where we should go. I think we ought to camp on that next week. I think we ought to see what are those mysteries that Paul's speaking about here. The mystery which was hidden even from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, wow. You see, it is prayer that brings it forth. It is prayer with supplication in the Spirit. That is prayer made in humility. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't understand. I have such desperate need of you. Lord, I lay my thoughts at your feet. I lay my ideas at your feet. I give up all my brain thinking, all my brainstorming, and I look to you, Lord, with humility and in prayer that I might be led by the Spirit of God, that I might hear from heaven. As the disciples of old asked Jesus to teach them to pray, we also need the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us in our priestly service to the Lord. Spirit-led prayer, being filled with the Holy Spirit, will result in praying Spirit-led prayers at all times. He goes on, he says, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh my goodness, perseverance, oh yes. It doesn't just happen. You've got to persevere. There's resistance. There is many things that will come against you in this area of prayer. Persevere. And supplication. Brokenness. Humility. Lord, how desperately I need you. Verse 19 says, Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Beloved, this is a very important verse of Scripture. Paul humbles himself by saying, I need your prayers. We must understand that the God had determined from the beginning to have mankind involved in the creation plan by relating with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God's plan was to lift man up and seat him with himself to rule over his creation. But sin interrupted that plan. But God never changed his plan. He became a human in Christ. He humbled himself and emptied himself and became like one of us and took on flesh to lead the way in a whole new creation of the Spirit. That is why our prayers are very important. And Paul understood God's plan. So he requested prayers for himself. He requested a very specific prayer regarding utterance. I want you to see this, but this is important. He only wanted to say what the Lord wanted said. Everybody has thoughts, and we all have needs over which we pray for God's help. Paul is asking for the prayers of the saints in helping him have the words which God wanted him to speak. Not just words, but words which have boldness on them. Boldness for every situation in which Paul would find himself. As Jesus has chosen his body to intercede for God's will and purpose in the earth, Paul is asking the Lord's people to pray for him because of his assignment given to him by the Lord, by our Lord. And because of the enemies that are at work against Paul and his calling to the Gentiles and his burden for his own Jewish people. Are you praying? Are you praying for your pastor and other leaders that you're aware of, which you know are on assignment from the Lord? I'm asking for your prayers myself. I ask you to pray for me and pray for Three Guys team members. Really, the same prayer that Paul requested, that utterance may be given to me and to our team, that we would speak boldly to make known the mystery of Christ. So all those that you know, maybe there's other ministries that you have connection with in one way or another, pray for them. Pray for them. Be earnest in your prayers. Now next week, I want to speak to the mystery of Christ. I will be sharing about the 10 mysteries of the kingdom of God. These are the mysteries given to the apostles of our Lord for his New Testament church to understand what Christ has accomplished in the Father's will. We need to go back. We need to look at these things. The church as a whole needs to go back and renew themselves and refresh themselves. And for some, it'll be new revelation. But go back and understand what the Lord gave in the Holy Spirit to those apostles. What they laid as a foundation for us so that we can understand. It's God's will, beloved, that you understand his word. It's God's will that you understand the mysteries of the kingdom so that you can be effective for God in what he's called you to do personally. It's God's will for his church to be fully equipped unto every good work so we can accomplish his plan. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the today, for this moment, for this time, to articulate these principles of truth from Ephesians 6. Thank you, Father, for Paul. Thank you for what he gave us. Now, Lord, let it be established in our heart and in our minds, in our lives, and let us go forth. Let us be a people that hear the word of God and are able to articulate the word of God that your kingdom might come, your will might be done more and more on earth. We know it is. We know it's happening. But, Lord, greater and greater release in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Walk with the King this week.